Next up is Zeke's report.
Yeah, howdy. Now, this is part two of the interview that we started last week with Maja Vodanovic. I wish I could speak Croatian. It is one of those languages that just sort of is way out there and always endlessly fascinates me. Anyhow, she is a local artist. She lives here despite being born elsewhere. And I've recently gotten sort of interested in just the process involved in making art. And she is working towards a show that's going to be happening next April. But it is the sort of how, the why, the where, how everything fits and falls together. And so, yes.
I looked at her website.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just get my mic up. I looked at her website, and it added a whole new dimension to the report. So if anybody's by a computer, I'd highly recommend that.
maja.ca is her website. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, here we go.
As a woman, I have a problem painting women so that they don't look narcissistic. Because when a man paints a woman, there's a relationship. But when a woman paints a woman, there's almost an identification to that woman. Like, you know, when women look at fashion magazines, oh, wouldn't that be nice to look like that? Or, you know, you identify to the woman you paint. And then if you paint her beautifully and you paint her, you know, lovingly in this wonderful, beautiful landscape, it's almost like you're projecting yourself in this. And I know some painter friends are like, oh, don't worry about that, you know, because when somebody buys it, they won't think that you painted it and you think you're so wonderful and great, you know. Don't worry about it. They'll just, you know, they'll have a rapport with it. But it really bothers me, this idealized person. I want it to be more real and that she's in the mystery of life, not in the kind of apotheosis of beauty. No. Another thing why I like to paint and why I like to paint people is because there's a connection, that's a spiritual connection that goes beyond. Like, sometimes we perceive things with our eyes and we sense things and we don't really know what. And when you paint, you kind of dig into that subconscious. So I think there's a spiritual connection between things and people and documents. And that's why, I never thought of this, I'm working on always on top of my family documents. So my grandmother's letters that she received in 1948, letters from the war, letters, birth certificates, all these original papers, because I put them on and I feel something, right? I feel this warmth, and I keep working at them. Another thing about working, I started working on top of original documents maybe 7 years ago, just sporadically, not on a consistent basis like now. And when I started, I used a postcard that somebody sent my grandmother, I don't know, 1950. I don't remember, but I didn't know who that person was. They was just saw the name. And I glued it in, and I developed, you know, this whole painting. And at the end, I called the painting The Architect's Wife. But, you know, it could have been me, because I'm an architect's wife, but I called that painting The Architect's Wife. And my mom then saw the painting and said, well, this is not funny, because that friend of my grandmother's, she was married to an architect. So how, you know, I'm sure that working with these things, there's an energy that is in it that, and I know that people perceive things that are not seen. These are my documents. So I have drawers of documents. Some people think it's almost profane what I do, because I rip them up and I glue them, and they say, how can you put your family documents, you know, and rip them up and sell them? But what would happen to them if I didn't do that? Somebody would eventually throw them in the garbage. If, you know, and if I hadn't collected them from my uncle's flat before he died, they would be in the garbage now. So what's more profane, me gluing them in a painting and preserving them forever, even though you can't see a lot of them, or, you know, throwing them out? And even if I have kept them now, once I'm dead, what are, you know, my kids are going to say, oh yeah, these are, you know, papers mom worked with, and what are you going to do with them, you know? So, you know. So these are the, these are the, all the documents, and I use the envelopes, and I hope I have enough for forever. These are from my family, you know, and they're during the, a lot of them, there's a tremendous amount of correspondence during the war, of the Second World War, and those I find incredibly interesting. Another thing somebody told me, you don't read them? Like, you don't care what it says? Why do you flip them upside down? I say, well, because, I mean, it doesn't have any meaning anymore. Like, you know, the... and often I try to decipher them. Like, the handwriting is really hard, and the language is sometimes German, and I don't understand it. But it doesn't matter. It's the... it's almost like I take it as a drawing or a painting. I really like this little booklet. This is, my grandmother used to knit. She knit it for people, so she has a little booklet of everyone's measurements. My measurements, shoulders, width, and, you know, when I was 10, and her, all her sisters, her brothers, you know. And even notes, you know, like how much things cost. And I thought, look, oh, this is me, my measurements. It says Dujina, 61 centimeters, bulk around my hips, and the little sweater she drew. So this is piece of my grandmother, a living piece. It's more than a picture is, because she wrote it. So it's her energy, it's her, you see? And when I put that in, it speaks. And talking about the fact that it's Maya, on that painting, Cetinje, which is the river in Croatia, I have a letter that was sent to me by my uncle, who taught me how to paint, that's in the middle of the carpet in the room. And I said, oh, now we're really talking identity, you know, who we are, and blah, blah. There's very interesting in these communist documents is how they ended them after the war. Smrt, smrt fascismu, sloboda narodu, which is death to fascism and freedom to the people, exclamation mark. That was like every official letter, no matter what it was, you know, just, you know, we're going to change the siding of your house, or it's, and the death to fascism, freedom to the people. As I did a whole show with that slogan showing up. One interesting thing that happened is, as I was working with that, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to see what Croatian people, how they read this, these documents, these paintings made from the documents. They were actually rejected from the Croatian embassy. They were asked, I was asked to send a couple of paintings to represent Croatian artists in Canada. They got them. They saw stamps of Tito, communists, before the separation, so of Yugoslavia. And they went, and there were still lifes. A lot of them were just still lifes. And they said, we can't show these. These are controversial. And I even had an agent come, like, somebody came and interviewed me for an hour, asking me, who were my parents? Who were my grandparents? Where was I born? Am I against the Croatian Republic? Am I for communism? And is that? It's very heavy, you know? Painting is a dying art. You know, I know that some people might not agree, but, you know, we no longer teach technique at university. I mean, when I went to Concordia, no one taught the kids there how to, I was a bit as well. I had done another degree before, so I thought I was older. They didn't teach them how to mix colors. You know, no one showed them how to use oils. No one showed them what, you know, what the Venetians did. And, like, there's a whole history of knowledge that is, like, thrown out the garbage. And it's like, we're just inventing new stuff. But try to learn oil painting. It takes years and years of practice and glazing and what varnish to put in. Why doesn't someone teach us this at university? You know, because it's not important, I guess, you know, because there's other stuff. There's, you know... And, you know, working with acrylics, I started, and I hated acrylics, because, I mean, yellow, you'd mix yellow and blue, and it wouldn't give green, it would give this brown. I was like, ugh, what is this, you know? So I've discovered a liquid acrylic, and that now is, that what people use it in airbrush, and I use it as a watercolor. Now, I've been out of university now for 15 years, You know, maybe if someone taught me this 15 years ago, I would have been ahead, you know, and that someone told me how to use an easel and how to use light, you know, that I always painted, you know, in front of an eastern facing window. But if you have a northern facing window, your light is stable. You don't have, you know, try to paint next to a high, you know, a big source of light, and it distracts and you can't see, and all the time I wasted. I hope that my paintings are like poetry, like Emily Dickinson's poetry, or that they reveal something about us and about the, you know, the difficulty of being happy and just all those cliches of mystery and all that. And I would ideally, well, I used to be very idealistic in politics, and that we could change the world and change, but now we have Obama, so I don't have to struggle. But I hope that a painting can change, can alter things, and even maybe more profoundly than politics. And sometimes I really believe that. And sometimes I think that when at the show, I'm less now, I've calmed down, but before I thought, once I put all my paintings together at the show, there's going to be the earth is going to shake. You know, all that energy together, it's going to be, well, after, you know, 5-6 and no earthquake, I figure, you know, it's not going to happen. But that's the intensity that I would like, but it's contradictory, because my paintings are incredibly calm. You know, they're very harmonious. Like, I struggle to make them perfectly harmonious and beautiful. And what I find very difficult to hear is when I hear artists say, oh, to do something beautiful is easy. What's more so I do, you know, I do grotesque things and I do disturbing things. Well, try to do something really beautiful and then come and talk to me about it, you know? You can do pretty. Yeah, you could paint, you know, pretty pink flower in a vase. That's not beauty. That's cute. Or not even cute. I don't know. It's just, you know, there's a whole definition of what beauty is, and to get to that, you know, that's the mountain climbing. That's, you know, so today's discourse is very much against beauty, because beauty is like, oh, you know, there's cell phones are beautiful, everything is, you know, it's design, and it's, we're all in this consumeristical beauty aesthetical world. But that's just, well, I don't trash design, because design is really hard and good, but I'm not talking about something that's chic and cool and nice and, oh, I want to have it because it's so nice. I'm talking about almost a religious experience of where we're trying to get to something that's great. And even less, this is a cliche too, trying to go beyond who we are. But, you know, basically just trying to do a good painting, you know, is the limit. But to do a good painting is to go beyond who we are, because, you know, we're not always that good.
That was
Maya Vodanovic in conversation. And if anybody wants more information about her, maya.ca, maja.ca.
Well, thank you for that, Zeke.
No problem. My pleasure. Thank you very much.